The Ambitious Radio Network. Conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders. Are you an entrepreneur, startup junkie, or just someone interested in improving their leadership skills? If you're looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening to Ambitious Radio will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with today's most influential thought leaders and entrepreneurs as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can apply immediately after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to the Ambitious Radio Network. And today we got another great guest. This is a man that I've known for a while. And he, you know, he does things a little bit different than others do in his industry. He's born in 1951, graduated from Southeastern University, 25 years of church work, and now 17 years in home finance. He really created something very interesting. It's a divorce lending specialty that he came up with back in 2002 to help, you know, kind of uncover and resolve issues that were left unresolved by others. And so now he instructs attorneys. He has continuing education credits that he does for the attorneys. And it's really in preparing divorce clients for their financing and putting things together to really kind of clean up all those types of things. But we've got Noel Cookman with us today of the Mortgage Institute. Noel, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon. Good morning, rather. I'm doing excellent. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. I am doing excellent as well. And, you know, look forward to kind of diving in today and really just, you know, learning a little bit more about what you do. And it's not just the average, you know, mortgage institute. We talk about that. It's not just mortgages that you do. I mean, I've dealt with thousands of loan officers over the years. And frankly, what you do is so specific. I've seen monsters that have gotten created by divorces that attorneys don't button certain things up, and we'll get into that in the next segment. But, you know, in the intro, we talked a little bit about you growing up and some of the work you've done. But, you know, what did I miss in the intro? Tell us a little bit about, you know, where you're from, you know, just family, growing up, and those kind of things.
Well, I like a lot of Texans, I got here late in life, got here as quick as I could, never really intended actually to live in Texas. It kind of happened by accident, but I grew up on the West Coast, mostly North Carolina. I was born in Virginia, a town called Winchester, Virginia, where they have statues to me. I tell folks they have Stonewall Jackson's name on the statue, but it's really me and that beard on that horse. But that's the I'm East Coast, born and bred, and kind of migrated out here 17 years ago, and I would not turn back for anything. But, you know, I spent 25 years, or really more than that, but 25 years in church work, professional church work, in the sense that that was my career. I kind of grew up in the church. My daddy was a preacher. And raised as a preacher's kids, they say they're, you know, they're the worst of the breed. And but it's really not true. I learned a lot. I learned how to relate and talk to people from all walks of life. That's kind of what you do in a typical evangelical church in the South. And you know all sorts of people, and so you got to learn to work with people. I work with young people most of my church work, and so I was involved with junior high school kids, high school kids. Had a great time. They kept me young, and then I moved on to other sorts of work. But I feel like everything that we do, no matter what situation you find yourself in, what job or career or whatever, I've always tried to take the notion that it's really preparation for something that you're going to be doing in the future. And not that we don't enjoy what we're doing at the moment, but as you look back over your life, when you get a few decades on you, you realize that a lot of stuff that I went through in my work, especially in the church world, was really preparation for what I'm doing now. I feel as called, if I can use that term, I don't mean to be too religious here, but I feel as called in a providential sense to what I'm doing now as I did when I was doing church work. I'm as satisfied and fulfilled doing this as I've ever been doing nearly anything. So it's all been a preparation.
Very good. Very good. Now, a couple of things. So you talked about the work you did at church and how that's translated over. Is there anything specific that you can kind of think back to or scenario-wise that you went through and you said, you know what, at the time I was going through this and it didn't seem to make sense or I didn't seem to get it, but, you know, years later, here's how it's applied to business, and I sure am glad I went through that.
Well, I think probably the one thing is a series of things that happens to everybody in life, and especially people in church work, because you hear all kind of horror stories about, you know, things that happen in the church world. And you can imagine, I mean, hearing about one scandal or another or this problem or that problem. You know, church world is full of all sorts of problems like anything else in life. I think probably the one thing is a group of a lot of things, and that is what my dad taught me growing up, that maturity and enjoying life, getting through life successfully, has a lot to do with how you learn how to handle disappointments, how you deal with setbacks, how you deal with a letdown or a firing. I've been fired from at least three jobs. And right now, two of the people who fired me are two of my best friends. We're very, very close, good friends. So I think going through, whether it's a little situation working with a program or a project or a mission trip over to Africa or Guatemala, wherever you find yourself, there's going to be a disappointment. There's going to be a setback. There's going to be, and throughout our lives, you know that there's a lot of them. And how you deal with them mentally, emotionally, more than anything, is so critical to maturity. It's so critical to how you get to the next step. And I've been really blessed because almost everything that looked like a setback was really a stepping stone to something better. And that's the way it's worked for me. And I'd say that probably my dad teaching me, look, you got to learn how to handle disappointments in a mature way, a positive way, and move on.
Yeah, you know, that's great that setback, you know, is a stepping stone. And so many times, you know, dealing with the disappointment, so many of our listeners are entrepreneurs or business people. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, but people want to get away from the having a boss and those kind of things. That's kind of what people promote about being an entrepreneur. However, you no longer have that boss to lean on to be responsible for handling all the things that you don't have to worry about. And so when you become a business owner, you are disappointed all the time. There's moving parts that you don't know what to do with, and you got to figure them out. And sometimes they can be devastating. Sometimes you mentioned the termination. Sometimes people get terminated. You have to terminate people that are your friends. There's things that, you know, there's just all kinds of other things that are out there. So dealing with that difficulty, I like that maturity example there. It really makes a huge difference. Now, we've got just a couple minutes left in this segment, but I'd love to hear a little bit about a couple things. Number one, I'd like to hear about, you know, with a little bit of maturity, something over the last maybe 10 years or so that you've kind of maybe changed your mind on. Maybe you felt, you know, this way about it, and then with a little more information, a little more education, a little more maturity, maybe you've changed direction just a little bit. Is there anything you can think of? And it may be over the last couple of decades. Anything along those lines that you can think of you might have changed your mind on with a little maturity?
Well, boy, so many things because I think back when I was quite a bit younger, you know, we felt like we had the world by the tail and we knew more than anybody else. And now, as I'm older, I see, you know, I mean, that's almost like a given with being young. But I've begun to ask folks this question. Are you telling me that you get dumber every day that you live? So there's really something to experience. It's not everything, because you can have years and years of experience in the wrong thing. We used to say it this way. If, you know, a banker or a mortgage person might brag about having 20 years of experience, but it could be the same year of experience just repeated 20 times and nothing really new learned. So it's just in how you ask what I approach maybe differently now mm-hmm. than what I did before. Probably the biggest thing is how to move on, how not to get caught in the minutiae. In other words, There's always a roadblock. There's always, well, it's not just a roadblock, but something to distract you. Always. Whether it's a customer who complains about this or that, and I could so easily get sidetracked with that, you know, defending myself or saying, no, you know, this is the way it is. I'm right. You're wrong. But probably the biggest thing to learn in the last 15, 20 years has been how to kind of overlook the minutiae, overlook the things that are really just distractions, learning what's a distraction and what is truly an issue that needs to be addressed. And so seeing the bigger picture so that I can say, no, what's the goal here? And in our business, I mean, we could really get distracted with a lot of things from underwriters to customers to this or that little issue. But we try to keep our minds, or I try to keep my mind steadfastly pointed toward this question. What does it take to solve the issue? What does it take to give my customer what they really need? What do they really need?
What does it take to solve the issue? I mean, that's really important, and we've got just a few seconds left. I want to talk about, you know, what shapes your mind. There's different things. There's different influences. There's people. There's individuals. There's books that you've read. And so are there any books that come to mind that are one of your favorite books or one that you recommend or maybe one that just helps shape, you know, your life and what you're doing?
Well, first of all, I listen to Doug Parker every chance that I get.
I appreciate that.
I listen to the tone of your voice and I listen to what you say because you really are an inspiration. I'm not just jesting, but years ago, and of course, so many people say this, but How to Win Friends and Influence People probably turned my thinking around, not as quickly as it should have, or I wish it would have, because I read the book 40 years ago. But that's such a critical book in my thinking. And Zig Ziglar's See You at the Top and just a very few books like that. That has kind of shaped, or at least, you know, given me thoughts that I didn't know before, you know, principles that I didn't understand before.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are two books that often do come up. And as always, we'll put all the information in our show notes section. And if you would like to go back and reference anything, you can go to ambitiousradio.com. Just click on Noel Cookman there, and you'll be able to see all of the different books that he recommends and just topics of discussion, where the golden nuggets are in the conversation. Really appreciate that. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Tune in after a brief word from our sponsors, and we'll be hearing more from Noel Cookman about his career pursuits and his experience becoming an ambitious entrepreneur right here on the Ambitious Radio Network.
Here's another RepairMyCreditNow.com story.
Home ownership. It's the American dream. It's a goal you've always hoped to achieve. You've spent countless weekends looking for the perfect house on the ideal block. The rates are low and you've saved enough for the down payment. Unfortunately, now the mortgage company says there's a little hitch. Okay, let's be honest. It's a gigantic, gargantuan hitch. It's your credit. And it looks like your estimated house payment will be a lot more.
www.repairmycreditnow.com.
Hello, this is Doug Parker with RepairMyCreditNow.com. Do you have less than perfect credit, a repo, maybe some late payments, a collection account? Are they being reported accurately? Studies show that over 70% of Americans have inaccuracies on their credit reports. Where do you fit in? Go to RepairMyCreditNow.com for your free credit report evaluation. And remember, your credit is your future. If you want to get started now, log on now. RepairMyCreditNow.com.
RepairMyCreditNow.com. www.repairmycreditnow.com.
All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network. This is your host, Doug Parker, and just really excited. I've got Noel Cookman here with me, and we were kind of talking a little bit in the break just about some of the things that he's doing now, and we're going to dive into, you know, the Mortgage Institute and what that's all about here in a moment. But I remember, you know, a while back, I came to an event that was Larry Gatlin. He was in town, and it was kind of a private event. And then, Noel, you and your group, you're really a professional singer, and you guys just knocked it out of the park. But can you tell me a little bit about your singing?
Well, that's kind of what we do for fun. I'm in a Southern Gospel Quartet and a mixed ensemble called Legacy Voices, and the quartet is called New Heart, and we're at newheartquartet.com. But Just some guys got together a couple of years ago, and all of these guys probably all together, we got 100 years of experience or more on stage. That tells you how old we are. So we're the old guys, but we like Southern gospel, and I didn't like it that much growing up, but I've kind of morphed into it, and we have a good time. We sing at churches, civic events, business events, and we've gone to one of our favorite things is retirement centers, where we can see people that are, you know, 80 and up, and talk to them. We love the old guys, and they seem to love us, and we have a great time doing that.
Well, I tell you what, I was blown away because, you know, the harmony and just, you know, the rhythm that you guys went through. And I came there expecting one thing. I was like, hey, I know Noel. I didn't know he could sing, and just knocked it absolutely out of the park. So so let's jump into your entrepreneurial journey, the ambitious journey that you've been on for the past 17 years or so. You know, we talked a little bit about the ministry work that you did in the past segment, and then we talked a little bit about the Mortgage Institute, but, you know, I know you're out there, like, really working with attorneys. I mean, practically kind of writing divorce decrees or something to that effect.
Well, we don't really write divorce decrees. That would be practicing law. I can't practice law. Don't practice law. Let the lawyers do that. The divorce attorneys, family law attorneys, depend on us to help them and their clients structure, for instance, buyouts in decrees. And so we kind of take a pre-look at that. We do the opposite of what everybody else does. Everybody else says, well, get your divorce final, bring us your decree, and let's see what we can do. We actually start a lot earlier than that. But the way I got started with that is, I don't know if you've noticed this, but they don't make movies and TV shows about mortgage people. They make them about lawyers and, you know, detectives and murderers and people like that, but they don't make them about mortgage people. M-O-R-T is the Latin word for death. And a mortgage is to bring, actually means to bring something to death. So it's not something that gets me out of bed in the morning. I don't care how much money you can make in mortgage, doing mortgages. Actually doing this stuff is not, I never once in my life woke up and said, boy, I'm really excited about paperwork and talking on the telephone and filing things and filling out forms. That didn't get me excited. But what happened was there, I had some deals I couldn't close because I would send the divorce decree over to the underwriter and they'd say, well, did you see this? And, you know, this disqualifies your applicant. So I began thinking, what if, and, you know, most of the good ideas have either come directly from above or the combination of asking, what if we could get involved before, you know, these divorce decrees are final. And I didn't realize, I thought, you know, who am I to talk to an attorney? Attorneys are pretty smart people. So how am I going to help them or their clients? They probably are doing a great job. But what I found out was virtually every one of the hundreds of family law attorneys in Texas I've talked to is, I don't know if I would say they're desperate, but they really are looking for somebody to help their clients with money. They generally tell their clients, well, I don't know, call your bank or call the people who have your loan now, and or if you have a mortgage person, and see what they can do about this buyout that you've got to do in your as part of your divorce settlement. And so I thought, boy, if I could just get a hold of people before, I could maybe help them structure their settlement in their decree so that instead of being disqualified for the mortgage, maybe they would qualify. I mean, I don't know if you want to get into details, but there's, you know, several things that you can do in a divorce settlement. I'll give you one example. Okay, I'm going to give away my secret sauce. So all the mortgage people listening to this, you got a little secret here. And those of you who are going through a divorce or know somebody going through a divorce, this is a really cool thing. Just as an example, a lot of people think that they're not sure their child support will qualify as income. They're like, I don't know how long you have to get it. Well, there's rules that apply to that. You have to show a pay history of having received it for a certain length of time, and it has to continue for a certain length of time. Your divorce decree will tell you to the month when it expires. So that part's easy. But what a lot of people don't realize is they think that if they're going to get divorced in May, then the first child support starts in June. But there's this little guideline in Fannie Mae and HUD and VA, Freddie Mac's a little different, but in those mortgage giant, the underwriting giants, that says you just need to document child support. Doesn't say it has to be in a divorce decree until it's final, until you finally get the loan done. But you can actually start documenting child support before the divorce is final. If one of the parties calls me early enough, and you know, in Texas, you can't get divorced for 60 days after you file petition, but most divorces do take several months at least. So if you call me early enough, we begin to help people structure their support payments so that they can build that history. So you don't have to wait 6 months after your divorce is final before you can close your loan to refinance into a buyout or whatever you need to do, even purchase a home. So that's just one of dozens of little features that people need to know when they're qualifying for a mortgage that we're able to help with.
Yeah, and you know, just from my perspective, with my background in finance, never done mortgages, but I work with mortgage companies a lot and the consumers that are attached to those. And you know, I've seen it time and time and time again where somebody brings me a divorce decree and they're like, oh yeah, that was my ex's, you know, whether it's a husband or wife, it was my ex's responsibility, you know, they got it in the divorce. And what a lot of people don't realize is that divorce decrees do not supersede the original contract. The divorce decree really has to do with, more than anything, possession of the home, not the mortgage responsibility. And even if it does say that they are responsible for the mortgage, you know, the original creditor, they could care less about your personal issues that you had with your former spouse. They want their money. And so I have seen it time and time again where a former spouse will either do something like let a car go repo just because it was one more little dig at their former spouse after the divorce is final. I've seen them where they'll make a 30-day late payment on a mortgage month after month after month after month after month forever. I mean, for years, just to keep twisting that knife a little bit. And, you know, working with Noel, you know, firsthand, I've seen some of the language. And it's things, for instance, like in a divorce decree where they've got that payout, or they've got it where there's a requirement for them to go in and refinance the house within some reasonable amount of time, you know, 60, 90 days, something along those lines, where the former spouse finances the home in their name alone, or they sell the house and they get a new mortgage on their own so that they're not entangled financially later after the divorce is finalized. And that's one of the things that that I've seen, like I said, that it just really wreaks havoc later on down the road. And I've seen other spouses where they kind of have a somewhat amicable divorce. They go their separate ways, but you know, 5 years down the road, the wife maybe has the home in her name. And or maybe it's the husband. The husband's got the home in his name. And legitimately they still get along. They got kids together. They're making the best of their situation. But the husband's had something happen and he just missed a mortgage payment. It wasn't on purpose. It was just a pure accident. Unfortunately, now that's reporting to the husband's credit report as well as the wife's. He's got possession of the home. She hadn't lived there in 5 years, and now she wants to do a new mortgage or something, and she's got a recent late, kills her credit score, and creates all kinds of issues. So the work that Noel does, it's very proactive as opposed to reactive. And what's your website? Is it themortgageinstitute.com?
Themortgageinstitute.com is our educational arm of what we do. It's not the mortgage side, but it's the educational side.
Got it. Well, and I highly encourage, you know, I mean, anybody that's going through a divorce, it's a terribly difficult situation. I've personally never been through that, but I was a product of a divorce from my parents, and there's a lot of moving parts, and it can get really nasty, and it's just trying to find ways to get through that. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't have any statistics to back this up. I one time heard that like 76% of all statistics are made up right on the spot, so I'm going to kind of roll with that. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are entrepreneurs, that are business owners, that go through tough times with their spouses. But there's a lot of divorces that occur because the focus is on the business. And, you know, unfortunately, it's just what happens. And again, we're very business and entrepreneurial centric listeners here. And so, you know, if you're going through some tough times, number one, obviously try to work it out. That's my just Doug Parker personal opinion. Always try to work it out because you made a lifelong commitment and it's tough. But if you've reached that point where it's there. You know, make sure that you've gone through and looked at the financial side of it so that you can hopefully get those things cleaned up. And especially, you know, when there's kids involved, the reality is there's still a lifetime relationship involved if you got kids, that there's going to be some type of interaction down the road. So I've seen Noel at work. I know it works. It's not necessarily that I'm saying go get a mortgage with him or go to the Mortgage Institute. I just know that what he does, it's powerful. And every loan officer I've ever dealt with my whole entire life, tens of thousands of them, literally, he has such a unique thing that he does. I've never seen anyone else that kind of does it to that level, because he's doing a lot of work kind of pro bono in the beginning in the hopes that he can get a mortgage right on down the road.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's a lot of extra work that goes into it. That might be why hardly any, you just don't find divorce lending specialists, which is a name I made up, but I didn't know of any in 2002 when the idea hit me. And, but thanks for saying that, because one of the things that inspired me to do this was I took a call from a guy who 18 years ago had a divorce, and the decree did not require that the wife refinance the mortgage. So it was still in his name, and she would default on it maybe 2 or 3 months in a row, and then her parents would help her catch up, and then go another month or two, and then default on it again and get right to the point of foreclosure. Then her parents would help her catch up. So he had a string of these. And here's the thing, a lender's underwriter might say, hey, look, we understand she was required to make these payments. We're not going to hold this against you in terms of saying, well, you missed the payments. But guess what? The credit score is in the basement, and there is nothing a lender can do about that. Nothing at all, period, end of story. You live with that. So at that point, it becomes very expensive, if it can be done at all, to try to take the ex-wife back to court and try to get a judge to say, well, let's kind of revisit this. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I just don't think that they're apt to revisit that very, very much.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. And like I said, I've seen it, you know, from the credit side as well. So great information for our listeners. And again, hopefully none of you guys ever have to go through that. But the reality is we do. We know that it does happen for a lot of folks. So appreciate that great advice and great information. If you like what you're hearing, subscribe by texting the word ambitious to 69922. That's 69922. Yep, that's a real number. It's a commercial short code, but text the word ambitious to that. And standard messaging rates will apply. See the website for full details. And next, we're going to be talking more to Noel about the ambitious things that he's really doing next. Kind of what does the next project look like? How does he go through making those decisions? Right here on the Ambitious Radio Network. Hello, this is Doug Parker, and I have been working with loan officers for over 2 decades. And if you're looking for a new mortgage, I want to introduce you to Jeff Janash. He's with Town Square Mortgage. This guy's got programs for every situation, whether you're self-employed, you need down payment assistance, a cash out refinance for debt consolidation. They can even do jumbo loans with 10% down. Rates are very competitive. Their service exceeds expectations. They're 2-time 5-star professional award winner. Very quick turnarounds. They can actually get loans closed in 3 weeks. A great program to be part of if you want to get in, get out, don't want to play a bunch of games. These guys are here local and can take really good care of you. I've known Jeff for many, many years, and he's actually available after hours. Give Jeff Janash a call, 972-292-7599, or you can go to tsmlending.com. That's tsmlending.com. T like town, S for square, M for mortgage, lending.com. Town Square Mortgage, 17300 Dallas Parkway, Suite 1030, Dallas, Texas, 75248. NMLS ID 169224. All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and today we got Noel Cookman with us of the Mortgage Institute. And I mean, this guy can sing, he can dance. I mean, he can do mortgages, he can
dance.
Do it all.
I don't dance.
You know, it's funny. I went through, very well. Yeah, I went through a training one time, and someone said, well, you know, because you can't sing, you can't, and everybody finished it by saying dance. And having vocal skills has nothing to do with having motor skills to be able to move and shake, if you will.
And vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, it's just kind of funny. But anyway, jumping back into this segment, talking about the entrepreneurial experience and kind of what's next. You know, I know sometimes our interviewees, you know, the guests that we're having on, they always can't talk about necessarily what's next. It may be because they don't have something next planned out, or it might be because it's kind of top secret at the moment. But do you currently have any projects that you're working working on that you'd like to discuss? Or if the answer is no to that, can you talk to us about that decision-making process of how you transitioned through? You were doing ministry work and then you decided to do the mortgage deal. How you go through that decision-making process?
I can answer those questions, absolutely. The next phase of what we're doing is education, more providing more CLE accredited courses for the family law community, the family law attorneys.
And now, what's CLE? Tell us for those.
Continuing legal education. Lawyers have to have those. And even though I'm not a lawyer, I read and studied what it took or what it takes to create a CLE accredited continuing education for lawyers accredited course, and I created something. I've created five 1-hour courses. We have a sixth one coming up for paralegals on drafting these agreements and decrees and real estate documents that not only gives them the legal education they need in an area that, as far as I know, nobody else is educating attorneys on these issues. People just shy away from it for some reason. And when I saw it and learned it, you know, because it pertained to financing, I saw it so clearly, and now I eat, sleep, drink, and dream it. I mean, it's something I'll see clearly. So more of that education, getting out. We've got to get out to the attorneys more. We're so busy doing mortgages, but we've got to educate the family law community for the sake of the 75,000 couples per year who are getting divorced in Texas. That's 150,000 people a year in Texas.
Man, that's a lot.
So we got to get out and help them.
Yeah, and you know, so let's talk about that transition. So, you know, obviously I know you're passionate about it because I see the work you're doing and I see the impacts it makes. And I often used to wonder, I'm like, in my mind, it made perfect sense. I'm like, what is wrong with these attorneys? Are they just being lazy? Because it seems to me they could just like copy and paste in every divorce decree, you know, something to the effect of whoever's getting the house has to refinance it in like 3 months.
Well, one word about family law attorneys. I know there's jokes, and I know I've got books of jokes about attorneys. If I had time, I'd tell a few. I think they're really funny. But honestly, I want to tell you, in 15 years now of meeting family law attorneys in Texas, they are some of the grandest, most generous, magnanimous people that you will ever meet. Now, I tend to interact with attorneys who like to build a team and solve problems, not so much with attorneys who like to fight and carry on in court and things like that. So admittedly, there's this affinity for problem solvers. And so only attorneys who like to solve problems are likely to refer their clients to me. So that's the kind of attorneys that I tend to associate with. So, but they are awesome people. Let me tell you, if there's children in a divorce, here's how a Texas divorce decree starts off. In the interest of the children. Now, that's pretty awesome. And I find that is what drives family law attorneys in Texas more than anything, in the interest of the children. So we're all working towards something that benefits people as best as we can in a difficult situation. And it's possible. So, that's part of my passion. But the way that I understand, I do two things to determine what my next step is. I ask what if, and then I listen. I meditate and I think, we'll talk about this maybe next, but I think about the right sort of things. But I ask the question, and I'm a contrarian, really. I'm always asking what if. I've challenged underwriters, large lenders. I've taken things all the way up to the senior executive vice president trying to get policies changed. And I'm just, I'm nobody special. They don't necessarily listen to me any more than anybody else, but I always ask what if. If it doesn't sound just right to me, if it doesn't in my gut, if it doesn't feel like this is right, if I feel like somebody is telling me something and they're not sure about it, I'll give you an example. For years, you call 100 title companies, 100 mortgage people, 100 real estate attorneys and say, ask this question. If a married couple is purchasing a primary residence in Texas and only one of the parties is on the mortgage loan application, does the other spouse have to sign the deed of trust at closing? 99 or 100% of them will say, absolutely, this is a community property state. It has to happen. And so you can imagine in my line of work, I found a couple of situations where the soon-to-be ex-spouse, but still the spouse, wasn't cooperative, and we didn't want them really to show up at closing. So, but people were telling me, no, the spouse has to sign the deed of trust. It didn't sound right to me, so I started pushing it. And I had to push back several even attorneys who said, yeah, that's the way it is. Come to find out, there is absolutely no law, nothing in the Constitution, nothing that requires a spouse to sign the deed of trust at closing for the purchase of a primary residence in Texas. Nothing in the story. Now, that doesn't mean every lender and every title company will allow it, but this it's nonsense that it's illegal or it's against the law or it violates some constitutional thing.
You know, one thing I found over the years is that a lot of people say it's the law, and what it is, it's the law of their business practices. They have found that it is easier for whatever reason. They'd ran into a particular problem a certain amount of times.
That's exactly it.
And they just say, you know what, the way we're going to do our businesses, the law is with us, both of them are going to be on there. And because it's an easier transition for them for whatever reason. And that's good that you dug deeper and you're asking why. And then ultimately, I'm sure what you did is you found title companies and you found lenders that would work with that situation because they could, you know, kind of finesse it through their system and it didn't get a big X from an underwriter or whatever the case may be.
But you have to start by asking what if. You have to start by saying, are you sure this is right? Because I've got a problem. I need to solve it in this way. So I'm always asking what if, and then I listen for the answer. And that's pretty much how I determine what we're supposed to be doing next.
My goodness, that is some really, really great information. And we kind of blasted through this segment. And after we hear a brief word from our sponsors, we'll be right back with Noel from the Mortgage Institute. And we'll just kind of hear how he recharges his ambitious body, mind, and spirit right here on the Ambitious Radio Network. Hey, ambitious listeners, you hear us interviewing entrepreneurs all the time, and there's a common theme. They want to be more productive and improve their communication. As an ambitious entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. The Ambitious Radio Network recently partnered with Grasshopper to offer our listeners a special discount. Log on to ambitiousradio.com and click on the Grasshopper banner in the bottom right-hand corner. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Sound professional with a main greeting and multiple extensions that forwards callers to your mobile phone or others in your organization. Get a toll free number or local number for your business with multiple extensions. Set up each extension with custom call forwarding to any phone in the world. Get your voicemails emailed to you as an audio attachment or transcribed an email. Keep business calls separate from your personal calls. Plans start at $12 a month with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember to click on the Grasshopper banner at ambitiousradio.com for a special discount for our listeners. Join the over 150,000 small business owners that have stayed connected with Grasshopper. See how Grasshopper works? It's the entrepreneur's phone system. Turn the world into your office. All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and three segments have flown by. Now we get to kind of go into the relaxed mode. We get to talk about what do you do to recharge your ambitious body, mind, and spirit. So Noel Cookman's here with us, and this guy, I mean, he's high energy. He's really involved in a whole lot of things and really has a caring heart and gives back. And so during this segment, a lot of times we like to just see, you know, what is it that you do to recharge? I mean, you're going all the time, and, you know, ambitious people, they're crushing it. They're you know, making sacrifices of sorts, but if you're not careful, you make too many sacrifices, and then they'll be needing to see you and the divorce attorney sometimes if they're married. What is
it? I don't introduce my wife to my referral partners in the family law industry. I keep her away from the cocktail parties and those social events.
I don't blame you. You know, it's a proverb. You know, it talks about iron sharpens iron, and there's another one that talks about how oh my goodness, it's Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. But it just has to do with that, you know, like who you're rubbing shoulders with. It's amazing. I've told my wife over the years, be real careful if you got some friends that go get a divorce, because misery loves company. And if you're not careful, they'll be like, he said what? Oh no, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing, you don't have to take that. And then it's crazy.
It's amazing the people, and I'm sure you see it in your industry. It's amazing your customers will seek advice from people, and you're thinking, you know, don't get advice from those people. They may be good at what they do, but you're asking a lawyer for financial advice or asking a financial person for legal advice. You know, don't do that. That doesn't make any sense.
Or don't go ask your divorce friend about how to keep your marriage good.
pretty much.
So let's talk about that. What does your daily rhythm look like? Do you have a rhythm of sleep and getting up and eating habits? I mean, what does it take to recharge for you?
Well, I'm not much of an expert in that because I've always had a challenge with feeling guilty if I was resting. But I think I'm doing better than I was when I was in my 20s and 30s. I don't feel guilty anymore about downtime, about resting, about just turning my brain off and letting it just, you know, our bodies are made in a magnificent way, our minds and our spirits in a magnificent way that you don't have to sometimes do a lot to recharge. All you got to do is quit doing stuff, relax, sleep. Don't feel bad about taking a break. But I think, especially for me, it's critical. It is life-changing what I think about. If I do not think about the right things at a very basic and core level in my life, you could sleep 12 hours a night and take 4 hours off in the afternoon and play tic-tac-toe. That doesn't mean you're going to get recharged. That doesn't mean your body, your mind, and your spirit is going to be rested. You have to think about the right stuff. And not only that, but make sure you don't think about the wrong stuff. Now, what I mean by that is the most important thing is reminding myself of who I am and what I am. It all begins with that. I don't want to get religious here and, you know, sound like a preacher or something, but for me, it's super, super important to understand that it doesn't matter who in the world accepts me for who I am, what I am, as long as I am accepted by someone, and I'm talking about God, I'll go ahead and say it, but as long as I sense that acceptance, it doesn't matter. Now, it's not always nice if other people don't accept you and like you and interact with you. That's not always pleasant, but remember what we said a half an hour or so ago. Life is about learning how to deal with disappointments. But once I establish and remind myself that I am loved, I am accepted for who and what I am, then everything else begins to build. And you got to have the right foundation to think that, I understand. Mm-hmm. But everything else from there is a recharge. You won't... You know, I can, like when we go out and sing, you talked about a singing. Mm-hmm. I can go out and after working a whole day and we go sing at an event at night and we're loading equipment and we're singing. And they say singing 45 minutes is equal to working 8 hours of manual labor. That's what I was told years ago. But afterwards, like we're at Dove Creek out in Roanoke every few months. I have a great time. But at 9 o'clock at night, boy, we have worked and worked and carried this. And almost all of the group members have worked all day at their job. And we are tired. But have you ever experienced this where you are just exhausted, but at the same time you feel charged? Mm-hmm. That means you're doing what your destiny is pushing you to do. That means you're not really exhausting yourself. You're actually recharging even while you're expending energy. That's important to me. So when I say relax, sometimes you may find me unloading PA equipment, setting up and singing and working and rehearsing, because after an evening of that, I am more charged, even though I'm tired in body, even though, you know, I do need to pause and rest, but I am more charged up after that than if I just stayed home and watched TV all night.
You know, it's an interesting point there. So over the years, I happen to own the building that that we operate our businesses out of, and over the years I've brought mulch up here, I've planted plants, I've cleaned out the lights, like the fluorescent light, drop them down and get the bugs out of them or whatever. And a lot of people, they'll be like, hey, what are you doing on Saturday? I'm like, oh, I'm at the office doing this, that, and the other. And they're like, why would you not hire somebody to do that? And they'll try to preach to me about how, man, you're better off, it's better use of your time. And I'm like, no, I get it. I'm not doing it because of the money. I'm doing it because, you know, you mentioned about the guilt of not being busy. Personally, I kind of like to work. I like to come up here. I can get something done. It's, for me, it's kind of mind-numbing. Spreading mulch out doesn't take a whole lot of brains for me to do that. and I'm still being productive, but I can process through, hey, I've got the upcoming interview with Noel. I've got this going on. Hey, what questions do I want to ask? I can process through, you know, the interview that we did last week, whoever that was. I was like, man, there's some really good stuff in there. How am I going to go apply that to my business? So kind of to complement what you were saying about the singing, you know, while it exerts some physical energy and those kind of things, it recharges you. And so me doing manual labor, as crazy as it sounds, I get energy from doing that because it's productive. I don't really have to think about what I'm doing, but yet I can process back through and go through, you know, some of those other things. So we got just a couple more minutes left and the show is over. I can't believe it. We could probably talk for hours to one another. So let's just kind of close out with a couple quick questions. Do you have a favorite place to kind of recharge or you talked about, I think, meditation or something in the past segment. You said you're going to elaborate a little bit on that. And then do you have a favorite place you like to go vacation?
My favorite vacation is always a cruise ship in the Caribbean. I don't understand people who want to go to Alaska on a cruise boat, but they do and they enjoy it, I understand. But I like the sun. I like relaxing. And whether I'm really kind of weird. I don't have expensive taste. We just bought a home, but I lived in an apartment for the last almost 2 years. And one of my favorite things is sitting out on the patio balcony of my apartment, and it's not a super awesome sight. I can see a McDonald's and a Walgreens and a Tom Thumb and an empty field, but I just like it because it's my space and I'm sitting there, and I do think that it has something to do with thinking the right thoughts. So I'm thinking good thoughts. I'm inspiring myself with the right thoughts. But so sitting on a balcony, patio, or porch or something somewhere is generally where I'm really feeling good.
Cool. So if any of our listeners would like to engage with you, maybe they've got a question on, you know, they're going through a divorce, or they, you know, they're at that point, or maybe they, you know, just have some questions as it would relate to finances or mortgage. How are you social? How would someone engage with you online?
Probably email noel.cookman@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to recommend it or to contact noel.cookman@gmail.com. And then the Mortgage Institute is my website. It's got education mostly for attorneys, but clients and divorcing folks often find that and go read the blog. And my contact information is there. Do you want me to, my phone number? Sure. You can call me at 817-454-4555.
Perfect. Give me that number one more time.
817-454-4555.
My goodness. Well, I really do appreciate you taking the time to come out and do the show with us.
I think being with you, Doug.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, it's great information you've really brought. And I think there's definitely some people out there that this episode, you know, will be able to strike a chord with them and help them out in their business or personally, perhaps. But appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us. We want to thank our sponsors. As always, Ambitious Radio could not do it without you. Tune in Saturdays to Ambitious Radio, where we interview thought leaders and exciting entrepreneurs changing the faces of their organizations. Remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So get out there and be ambitious.
Thank you for listening to the Ambitious Radio Network, hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders on topics that can be applied immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.